Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, Nick and E in the morning.
You know why they yawning,
yawning.
Talk to him.
Come on, E.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Hey, God, where about that?
We loosen the roof, baby.
Lathory.
It's happening. Colossal. I just need greatness.
Talk to him.
Talk to him. Talk to him.
Get him. Woo! That's right, baby. We are back. It is Who We Got Wednesday. And we are ready to go today, baby. What's going on with you, good brother?
What's happening? I'm feeling good. It is Who We Got Wednesday. It's our second to the last Who We Got Wednesday of this mini season here, and I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. Thank you for everybody for joining us, and we are running. We are running to the finish line, and I'm excited about what we're doing here on the show. We've had a church heavy week this week. That's always good.
Oh yeah. We got some good church content in here, and today we've got more of it. We've got more church content and controversial topic, really, a controversial topic among theologians and others. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What are we doing? What are we doing today exactly?
Oh yeah. We're talking about is the church dying? We're talking about is the church dying, and it's a controversial topic because it runs you know, an argument between the seasoned saints who really believe in the Lord and His power and His sovereignty and His deity, and it runs an argument with the theologians who study the theory of the Bible and the theology of the Bible. And they often don't agree is what we'll find. And so it's a topic that has been rife in the religious news for really, really heavily over the last 5 years because of the statistics that we see in the churches, the lowering number of people going to service.
Good. That's all good. Now who we got?
Oh,
we ready to rock? Who we got?
Okay. Sure.
We'll get further into it. Who we got?
Oh yeah. I appreciate it. Listen, this morning on the show, I'm excited about this. I've been trying to get my man on the show for a couple of months now. Rushed out to him last year when I first started seminary, but we couldn't get our schedules to get right. But we got him now. We booked him, and this morning on the show we've got Dr. Charles Leonard. Okay, Dr. Charles Leonard is a professor and an advisor at Lutheran Theological Seminary of Philadelphia, where I attend seminary. An exceptional professor. I took his class on church administration. He's been all over the world doing mission, and is really, he knows all about church, as in where we go on Sunday, and he knows all about the church, as in the body with a capital C. And so there's no more apropos person to have on the show this morning than the great Dr. Charles Leonard. Dr. Leonard, how you doing this morning? How you feeling?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. It's good to be on the show and good to know that there are people that are listening in. So I thank you for
sir.
The invitation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're honored to have you on. Extremely excited about having you on. And we're extremely excited about this topic. That I was really diving into at the top of the show and would continue to do so. And it's a topic that we've talked about in class, and that many of us as, again, you know, theologians have kind of wrestled with, right? Because you put the deity of the Lord on trial here, and you're saying that something that he started, something that he is dying, even though he's proven that death wears thy stain, right? And so we have this controversial topic that says that statistics are down in the Baptist church, statistics are down in the church overall, and then you have this growing group that is not related to churches at all. So this growing group of nuns that really have no religious relationship, they're more spiritual and not religious, and they're expeditiously growing. And then you have the movements like the Black Lives Matter, where this would historically have started in the church if we go back to the times of Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. Many of those movements, majority of those movements, they saw so much success, and they were able to withstand all of the violence against them because they were founded in the church. They had their foundation in the church. And now today we see many marches and we see many movements that are church at all. And it often brings up the question, well, is it because the church is dying? So cut and dry this morning, this is the conversation that we want to have, Dr. Leonard. And I want to start off right from the top. Is the church dying? And if so, what can we as leaders do to stop it and to get people back in the pew and back, you know, with a relationship with Jesus? And if it is not, then what are we doing to keep it from doing so? Or are we giving ourselves too much credit? Is it not us?
Nice. I think that last part is well said. You know, it's really Jesus Christ. It's Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, and Christ has to care for Christ's church. We as serve God's servants, we're the ones that are out there, we're doing the work and so forth, but it's Jesus Christ that has to move it forward. You know, it says on the rock, solid rock, you know, he built his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe that the church, and this is my belief, that the church is not dying. We're down in numbers. And I would think that's a worry that so many people have, and places down, that's down in giving to the church, support of the church, and so forth, and there's reasons for that. But I think also the society is changing, you know, tremendously. And society, like you say, the people that are spiritual but not religious, yes, that mm-hmm. group is growing. It's growing for a reason. I believe that what has happened, the generation, especially the baby boomer generation, were raised by people who were very much steeped in church and tradition. And church in that mm-hmm. time was a very important part of society. And this is what families, they worship together, and they put a lot into mm-hmm. it. And we were taught by our grandparents and parents, as baby boomers were taught, that you had to know how to pray. And you had to know what church was. And many families, people, children were not allowed, teenagers not allowed to go out on, let's say, on Saturday if they weren't going to be in church. And then on Sunday. Yeah. And then we ate together as a family. At some point on Sunday, people were able to catch up with each other. So the Bible was in the home. Prayer was in the home. And also it was expected you would worship. Now, we've sort of strayed away from that. I think what has happened is that one generation has said, well, that was enough of that. That was too strict and too much church. So they strayed away from it. So what we have now is a generation, they raised their children up not going to church, only if the child wanted to go to church. And that's a problem, you know, for the church. But it's not just the family and the society. The church really has also done some things to bring the numbers down and so forth. The churches have, I believe, have failed to remain relevant, you know, to the society, to what society is dealing with. The church has really, I think, has taken a back row seat in a lot of places, and issues that are out there that the church should have been out front. Talking about issues of justice, you know, issues of peace, that the church needed to be in the forefront, leading the way. But we have those Christians who feel that they say it's politics. Politics and the church should not be involved, you know, out there. But then we go back when Jesus says, yes, we're in the world, but not of the world. We're in the world for a reason. No, not just to sit there and just be a bump on a log, but I believe Jesus Christ is calling us to do something as church. He's calling us to stand up and to right the wrong, to call us to stand up and be the mirror to society, showing to society, this is what you look like. You know, this is what you're doing to the poor. This is what you're doing to people of color. This is what you're doing to the people that are, let's say, gay and lesbian people. Now, some churches said, we don't want to deal with those people. A lot of those people are also in those nuns, a lot of them. People have been turned off by the church because of tradition and so forth. You know, those kinds of things that turn people off. The church probably has no idea. And I'm using the church in general. Not every church has been involved in this, but the church has really turned people off when you talk about, well, you dress a certain way. And I realize there's a proper way. There's some things you don't wear into a church.
Right.
But they get into dress. They get into deep into people's lives, and you insult people sometimes and say, well, you this, you that. No, you don't belong here, you know, and so forth. That's not good. So the church has really done some damage to itself. And the church, I believe, let me say also, the church has really has lost its way. It's lost its way. A lot of churches, not all the congregations, but many congregations have lost their way. They've forgotten that they're in the community, and they've forgotten that they have to connect to what's going on to that community to assist the people and help the people along the way. And church, many of the little churches, what has happened, the pastors, I think, have lost their way as far as leadership. And that was one of the questions you had. They've lost their way because of leadership, not knowing how to lead. That's one thing. It's not knowing how. Because the ministry today is very complex. It's much more complex than it was 20, 30 years ago. And it's going to be complex 20, 30 years down the road. The church is not going away. It's just going to evolve into something else. But it's harder in a technological era. It's harder for the church, you know, to do its mission. And the church has to find another way how to reach out into its community. I think our clergy, as you say, clergy are tired. You have, just like you have a cadre of professors across the whole country, in the universities and colleges and so forth, this whole cadre that's getting ready to retire because they're older people and they have to make way for the younger people. Well, you have clergy, a whole cadre of clergy that are getting older, getting ready to retire. And some are coasting. They're coasting. They're not doing much.
Coasting.
They're coasting because they realize I got myself, if I stay in here another few years, I get myself a nice salary, a nice, in some cases, a parachute, a golden parachute. Some cases they'll get a nice pension, and they go on their way. So you sit and you coast it out. But that's also very sad because God calls us to be responsible, and we're on watch. And we're on watch until we leave out the door. We're on watch, you know, as the shepherd. And our thing is to care for the people, care for the communities, care for what God has called us to do, to teach, to preach, to take care of the poor, take care of the sick, and so forth. But also very important, I think, how do we need to continue help the people with their faith, help them become deep in their relationship with Christ. And that's a very important piece that each pastor has to remember. That doesn't stop three or four years before you retire. That doesn't stop. No, that goes on. It goes on. Let me stop there and let you come in.
So let me stop.
Doc, I'm glad you said it, Doc.
you see me and Nick just going, crazy. We didn't know how to cut you off. We literally.
there was so much there, Doc, that was poignant and was necessary. You know, for you. Every time I said yeah, it was a genuine yeah because I knew that there was an area that needed to be addressed, right? There was so much from the beginning to the end, and I'm going to let E go in and jump right into his question in a second, but you know, just looking at your response, and you talked about the leadership of the pastor, right? You talked about the tradition of the family, and I just want to respond to that family piece really quickly. That's
extremely poignant, Doc, of you bringing this up. And it's something that we as millennials talk about often, those that have grown up in the church, that coming up, church wasn't an option, right? Coming up, we were in the church. Saturday night, mm-hmm. if you went out and you couldn't go to church Sunday morning, well, you couldn't go anywhere all week long, right?
I mean, there you
if
go.
You were too sick to get to church on Sunday, you were too sick to go out all week. And so these principles were taught early on, and to your point, it was cumbersome. It was cumbersome when it first started. You didn't want to do it. You didn't want to be a part of it. But there's something about getting in the house of the Lord that after a while, you weren't worried about.
Grows on you.
You weren't worried about having to go to choir rehearsal. You weren't worried it was an exciting thing to be a part of. You learned to make it make you happy, and then thus you yearned for Sunday morning. So then the reciprocity relationship, it switched, because then it was, come on, Mom, come on, Dad, we got to go, I'm singing. And now instead of Mom pulling you, you're pulling her, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. Yep.
the little child shall lead them.
Yeah.
Little child shall lead them. And that happened in a lot of cases, you know, even today in some churches where the children will go, because they look at this strange building and they see some people going in there. They may see a few kids going and they say, Mom, what's that? Dad, what's that? Well, that's the church. I want to go there. I want to see what's in there. Curiosity. And when they come in, you know, of course, hopefully they're treated with warmth and with some love. And then they say, I want to go back. And before long, you're saying to the parent is saying, well, what are you doing over there? You say, well, I'm involved in this program and that program. Well, let me go over there and see what's going on.
I'm telling you, I don't know how to stop either one of you guys right now. This is just amazing content. And both of you pointed at the first topic that I wanted to introduce and especially with your response, Nick, just now about the family, and your response to his response, Dr. Leonard, about the family and the community. I mean, the church traditionally has been this transcendentally infectious entity. Penetrates everything around it, and it connects to everything that wants to be a part of it. It's supposed to have an energy that you can't put a cap on, much like I can't put a cap on the two of you. I mean, you talked about it connecting to people, connecting to the community, connecting and connecting to what God calls us to do, the pastor and the leadership helping people with their faith. You talked about all those things, and all of those things are practices, and you may have gotten them all out. We may have covered them all, but practical theology is a subject in which you profess at the seminary, it's obvious. Here you jump on the show and you're talking about all these practices, all these things that are necessary that are apropos to the life of a healthy church. Now, I don't know, maybe you have more. You want to just tell me I said that already, but I did want to make a point. Go ahead.
I think the leadership, there was a question about the leadership, and you asked, what does lazy leadership look like?
Yeah, there was an article.
When a pastor has lost the passion for ministry, when you're just going through the motions, and some are going through the motions, that's one problem. When you lost the passion for ministry, some have even lost the passion for the worship of the church. Sometimes pastors say, and I hear this when pastors say, if I'm leading worship, I can't worship. I can't worship if I'm leading worship. I have to go on vacation, then I can really worship. And I try hard to understand that. I try very hard, but that's not my experience. That over the years, as I've worshiped, I led worship, I have worshiped with the congregation. I have worshiped, and there has been a joy. And what go on within the sanctuary with the folk, you know, watching them sing, me singing with the congregation, me praying with them, me as a pastor, me guiding them and helping them prepare for worship and so forth. Even at the praying at the beginning of worship, which is so important, those who are going to be involved in certain ways, that we come together and have prayer that the Holy Spirit be with us and guide us in that worship, and that God come through and be present with us. You know, that in some churches I see that doesn't happen. But it has to be a passion for the worship, a passion for the ministry. Any church, as Paul Tournier, which is, he was a doctor, but also he wrote a lot of philosophy and theology, a lot of different little expressions, things he came up with. And one of the things that he did say, and it wasn't a phrase, not coined especially from him, but it says that a church or any entity that is not busy growing is busy dying. If it's not busy growing, it's busy dying. We have to continue to look at our ministry, and we have to see how can we do this ministry better, or what ministry should we add as a congregation. And we do it, put our energy into it, and work with it. And you have to, I believe, that's where the passion comes, that we know that we have a mission. We have something that we're doing here for Jesus Christ that's very important, very important. And when you just go through the motions and you don't see any new ministry coming, and you see the other ministry sort of humdrum, you know, just hanging on, you just do it because, oh, we've been doing it for so many years. No, there has to be some energy pumped into that thing. And people have to say, we're doing this because there's a reason. We're intentional about what we're doing, and we have to work with this. So I see in some congregations that piece too. And that's where the leadership come in. The pastor has to see, oh, we need to revamp this, or look at this, or this ministry is needed now. Because the community doesn't stay always the same. The society doesn't stay always the same. So there's a lot of things that we can do as far as revamping, revisioning, and so forth. You know, each congregation need to be, each year, at least every couple years, we have to go back and bring the leadership together and revision. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? What should we be doing? And so forth. You know, in many congregations, they do have like a board retreat or a whole congregational retreat of all those leaders and all those interested. You know, come and bring your ideas. Get people excited, their ministry. Get them excited about their church and so forth. And I think some of that gets lost in the mix.
Yeah, nice. It was a phrase coined by Greg Laurie. He wrote an article that Nick actually sent me with a few chief reasons why the church appears to be dying, and he pointed to lazy leadership, and I thought that was the most poignant one. First of all, lazy leadership, I feel, is oxymoronic, because those two words should never be together, because
exactly.
If we know one thing about lazy people, they can't lead. And if we know anything about leadership, it's not lazy. And you hit that nail right on the head when you said that a church that's not growing is dying. And I think that was very timely and very poignant, because if you're not growing, then you are lazy.
Right.
And you also said that no community stays the same. You know, the outreach initiatives should be different than they were
exactly.
5 years ago. They should be different than they were
exactly.
10 years ago. There's a need that each church needs to meet. They need to find those needs, and they need to find what they need to do in their community for the families that are within the church, because those needs are different than they were 5-10 years ago. And attack those. Find unique ways that you can meet those needs. And I thought you did an excellent job of answering that question. Yeah, and answering that question before I asked it. But
yeah.
So listen, we had four questions that we wanted to ask, but I think you obviously with. You know, the passion that we have around this topic and obviously the complexity of it, I think we've done a good job of kind of, you know, dipping and diving into some of the questions. I just want to kind of
go back to your response to, is the church dying, right? And as I asked that question, I kind of gave you like a way out, right? I kind of gave you an answer to go with, and that was, or are we giving ourselves too much credit? Is it the Lord? And you responded, and you told us, you said that Jesus is the church, and God is the church, and that God has already proven. And I'm obviously paraphrasing, but God has already proven that death has no stain, that death
right.
has no final destination, and thus, because of that, the church is not dying. Now, membership may be going down, and leadership may be doing a poor job.
Right.
The church itself may be losing its relevance, but the reality is that the church itself is not dying. The question
right.
here, Doc, is through all of these things that you've delineated already about what's wrong with the church, right? Now, all of our listeners are like, man, the church has got to get it together. What is it right now that the church is doing and has always done and has always been in the community, in the lives of people that has allowed it to be, especially in the African American community, the one pillar that has withstood depression, recession, oppression, all of depressing, what are we doing, and what is it about the church?
I think I believe that we have an aging population, and many of the African American congregations, as well as the other Caucasian or Asian congregations, whatever, what we're finding with a lot of gray hair. And number of congregations that people are looking at saying, now this was a prestigious big congregation. I think we have to ask ourselves, what didn't we do? You know, we may have missed the book with some of our young people back a generation ago, but those are missing in a number of churches. Now, you have some mega churches, some large churches that have some of those people in them, you know, but some of those young people that we missed because of, as you were saying, tradition. We strangled ourselves, you know, in tradition, trying to hold on here and hold on there to know this is what we believe, this has to be done this way. We don't sing that kind of music in our churches and so forth. Whereas if young people are coming in, we have to connect to some of what they're familiar with. The church needs to look at technology. We need to, how many of our pastors, especially those who are older, understand technology or really think it should be in the church, you know? So there's a bottleneck of the leadership saying, oh, we're not going to do that here. We're not bringing those screens in. We're not bringing no drums in here and so forth, because this is not what we do, you know, and so forth. We're a quiet church. We shout and whatever, you know, but we don't speak in tongues in here and so forth. And this is where you try to squelch the spirit. That's another problem there. But it's not that you allow everything, just everything, you know, no holds barred into the church, but it's us looking at how, and this is what the churches did back, you know, while we're at where we are now, we missed the boat on some things that we should have done to try to bring the young people on board. And now we're older in a lot of these churches. There's nobody to turn the mantle over to, because those people are missing. So the church is simply move on, and you connect to another congregation and so forth, or you close your doors. But that's sad, because there's a mission that this church had for that community, and that's missing. Now what the church is doing, the church is going to evolve into something else. Those people who are spiritual but not religious, they're trying to send a message, you know, to us. The church has to evolve into something else. You know, the trust in the institutional church. You know, many people feel that the churches want my money. You know, there's millennials. Yep. Millennials are very they're very tight
they're
with their
stingy,
money.
Yeah.
They're only gonna spend
yeah,
it on
no,
what,
no,
they,
that's true.
What they feel is important to them. And
yeah,
if they don't see the church being relevant,
get.
They're not gonna pay, not gonna put the money out there if they don't see the church being relevant. No, they're ready to help. They see something that the church is reaching out to help the poor somewhere, or have a program or shelter or something, or even going overseas for a mission trip. Millennials will work with that. They'll work with it because they can see, okay, now you're doing something. But it's just to come and put my money in the plate each Sunday and that's it. They're not going for that.
Right.
So the church has to really look and see, what do we do from here? You know, how do we work
yeah,
with some of the traditions? Don't throw the tradition. Don't throw your traditions out. But there's a way that you can remarket or revision and remarket. You're going to keep the tradition, but some things we have to say, but we got to tweak this and make this make it palatable to those who are living today to say that Christ has some responsibility, has some authority in your life. We have to get into their lives. Christ has some authority in your life, because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you need to know that. So it's the work we have to do. Tremendous
yeah,
work.
Doc, you've given us so much high quality content this morning.
Yes, sir.
And we are extremely grateful. We are extremely grateful. Our live listeners are gone. They've left us.
They're history.
But
yeah.
A lot of listeners are gone. But listen, Doc. You know, again, it was an extreme honor to have you this morning. The show's over, Doc. The show
Thank
is
you.
Over.
Thank you.
But you were exceptional, Doc. I mean, I knew that we were going to have high quality content and
to discuss this topic in detail. And you delivered. You delivered, Doc. So we want to thank you for joining us this morning. Thank
You're
you for
welcome.
Your time. It has certainly
You're
been
welcome.
A pleasure.
You're welcome. Y'all have a blessed day.
Oh, you
sir.
Too.
You
too. It was an honor meeting you. I really enjoyed. Thank you so much, Doc.
You're welcome. All right.
Bye.
All right. Talk to you, Doc. Well, bro.
Yeah, that's another. That's another one of my favorites, bro. That's another one of my favorites. I know sometimes it seems as if I'm saying that every week or every other week, but that's definitely it. Another one of my favorite shows. I mean, I think that was a classic one. That was one for the books. We do a good job of being unprecedented and being relevant with these Who We Got Wednesdays. And the guests are pretty much, I mean, well, I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all heard them. Yeah. Okay, it was good. I enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Me too, man. He came on the show. He answered questions we ain't asked yet. You know, he gave us high quality content. I mean, you know, he was exceptional in his own way, man. He did it. I knew he would, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it. So are we doing this Switch Week next week or no? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, I'm down for that.
And it doesn't matter. It's totally up to you.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so
we're doing it, baby.
Okay, cool. So there we go. We've just had our meeting, and now we're going to have our announcement. Switch week next week, people. Okay. We're having Switch week. Switch week next week and Worship Wednesday. That's right. Last week of the month, Worship Wednesday next week. We got 2 weeks left. That's it. Jesus Christ. 2 weeks left, 6 shows left, 5 shows left before our fall finale. All right. Now, this has been awesome. Okay, we'll see y'all on Switch Week. That's it. I'm excited.
Oh yeah.
And tonight,
and
tonight the Eric Terrell Show. We're talking about relationships with Sydney Gant. Relationship breaks with comedian Sydney Gant. So come join that. Yeah.
Tune in.
Let's
people.
Go. I'm sorry.
Come holler at Ted tonight. Tune in. Listen, we gave you high quality content this morning. If you didn't listen, and if you didn't get anything, listen again. But we want you to make sure that you take this with you, and that is that our destiny, that your destiny, my destiny, Eric's destiny, Dr. Leonard's destiny, all of our destiny, our greatness. And it's not because of you, it's not because of me, not because of Dr. Leonard, and sadly it's not because of E. Our destiny is greatness. Why, E? Come on, brother.
Because God because God did it. Oh, that was
That's
a good
right,
one.
Baby. Our destiny
I like how I got
is
that out.
Greatness. God did it.
Yeah.
I'm a
My best one ever.
Man. Y'all be easy.
This boy's a fool.